Welcome to the Turning Pain into Power podcast. My name is Davina Faust, and I am a life transformation expert. My goal for this podcast is to bring you some positivity every single week and to inspire you to recognize that your struggles are just part of your story. I have completely changed my life, and I just want you to know that you can do the same thing. I'll also be bringing on some really incredible people who are just like you, who have learned to turn their own pain into power. Ever since I was in college, I have fallen so in love with coffee, especially first thing in the morning, because I am not a morning person. But I've tried to do black coffee before, and it just wasn't working for me. It was really bitter, and I've got a sweet tooth, so I always find myself adding too much into my coffee, whether that be cream or sugar or flavored syrups. When I really looked at my health and I really was looking at what I put into my body every single day, I realized that my coffee was pretty much like having a candy bar every single day. It really wasn't that great for me nutritionally. So I am so grateful and excited to have found this coffee company. They're called Coffee Over Cardio. Coffee Over Cardio is a brand, and it's specifically targeted at boss babes, so female entrepreneurs, but really anyone can enjoy these flavors because they are so dang good, you guys. And they're so good for you. They are gluten-free, sugar-free, calorie-free. So then how are they flavored? The flavor is actually sprinkled onto the beans and baked before the coffee is ground up. So you get the flavor really deep into the coffee bean. My favorite flavors in general are the birthday cake and the cinnamon bun. I honestly don't really have to add that much to the cup anymore. I maybe put in a little bit of almond milk just for texture, but otherwise I don't need the same amount of sugar and crap and everything that I was adding to this cup of coffee. The coffee itself is delicious. So if you're interested in trying it, or if it sounds like it's up your alley, head on over to coffeeovercardio.com. I'm going to hook you up with 10% off. If you just use the coupon at checkout, 10DavinaF, you will get 10% off your purchase. So please enjoy this delicious coffee. Let's get into the show. Hey guys, welcome to the Turning Pain into Power podcast. I'm always so excited for these episodes, but I just absolutely love this person. We've been friends for what feels like a billion years. We lived together in college, and I'm just so excited to share her story. This is Katie Gorman. She has had a lifelong struggle with anxiety and depression, and she found that art was her creative outlet, and calligraphy in particular. And she had a career in marketing, right? And then had decided to instead become a stay-at-home mom while she pursues her creative calligraphy on the side. So I know this is a story that a lot of people are going to be able to relate to, with either the anxiety and depression or the stay-at-home mom aspect side of things. So Katie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Absolutely. So let's just take it back. When I first met you, we were in college, and it was actually right after you had attempted to commit suicide. So if you're willing, we can just go deep right away. And yeah, we could talk about your struggles and your battles with depression and anxiety from whenever that began.
Yeah, of course. So I first struggled with depression and anxiety when I went to high school. I started high school. I went to a high school that was an hour away from where I grew up. No one I knew went there. My brother and sister were seniors, but that was kind of, they didn't want to talk to me because I was a lowly freshman. So I went to this new, completely new experience, not knowing anyone kind of person. I'm definitely an extrovert, but I'm also just on the line of introverted, which not many people know about me. But if I know one other person, I'm good. But if I know no one, I kind of just shut down and don't know what to do, and just feel so out of place. And so it was just really hard for me to make friends in that new situation. And I didn't get involved in anything. I kind of just shut down, and the anxiety and depression, it was really hard for me to struggle. I mean, I remember I turned to writing at that point. I kept a journal, and just wrote every single night, and it was the loneliest I've ever felt. And I actually was so close to committing suicide that I woke my parents up in the middle of the night and told them before I did anything. And as I'm sure most parents, not having dealt with anxiety and depression themselves or with a child yet, they didn't know how to react. And I remember they made me go to school the next day like nothing happened. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them for not handling the situation in the best of ways, because no idea how I would have handled it at that time either. But it was just really tough for me. And then they had me go to a counselor, which I didn't want to talk to the counselor. In therapy, I didn't want to bring up those feelings when I wasn't feeling them at that moment, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, I'm not feeling these things right now. I'm happy. I don't want to go to that place if I don't have to. And also, I want everyone to like me. So I wanted my therapist to like me. And so I didn't want to be a downer or whatever, which is hearing myself say, that's totally crazy. But so therapy wasn't the best for me. And my parents didn't really want to turn to medication immediately because they're of a more holistic approach of therapy. Yeah, maybe medication, but trying to see what the root cause, other than chemical imbalances, what could be, I don't love to use the word triggering, but what could be triggering these feelings in me. So I dealt with it and got more involved at school. And as I was getting more involved and busier, those, especially in theater, that really helped to, I don't want to say distract me from those feelings, but helped me deal with those feelings in a more concrete way of understanding, yeah, you're feeling these things, but it's not you. So then going to college again, I went to a school that was about 4.5 hours away from where I lived. No one I knew was going there. And so again, thrown into this completely new situation of change and not having any friends and not knowing anyone. And, but this time I did get involved in theater right away because I was a theater major, but still feeling like I didn't find my people. I was in a completely new situation. I had gone from my parents, who were pretty protective and, you know, didn't let me go out a lot, to having all of this new freedom that I just didn't know what to do with, didn't know how to handle. And I kind of went overboard with partying. And my thing was that I didn't want to make decisions. I just wanted to go with whatever was happening, which was not great. And so I fell back into those same patterns of depression and anxiety, and all culminating in me being very drunk one night, having something happen that I thought was going to be the end of the world. And I went back to my room and I swallowed a bottle of pills that I'd had, that I had been allergic to. And, but the second that I swallowed them, I reached out to a friend, Tim Gallagher, actually. And I was like, Tim, I need you. He was an RA in another building. And he came and got the RA in my building and helped me. So I was taken to the hospital. I was admitted, and luckily no serious health repercussions from that. Another good friend, Mark Winterbottom, who Tim and I have as a mutual friend, drove up from Delaware to be with me. And that really just meant the world to me to have them in that time. But I was admitted to the psych ward, which was probably the scariest experience of my life, going into this place where there were people that were far more ill than I was, and just terrified. And then having the school called my parents, because it wasn't something that I got to tell them. They were told by someone else. They didn't know how I was. That was just terrifying. So I got out of the psych ward the following week. I decided to go back to school because there was just a week before spring break. And then I got back to my room, and my roommate at the time had been cutting her wrists. And she had obviously struggled with depression as well. And that was just a big eye-opener for me of what I do affects other people. Not that I didn't know that before, but I knew that she was doing that because she had seen what I had gone through the week before. Wow. And So I went home, I focused on myself and my health, and I just had some really, really strong foundations of friendship at the time in Brandon and Kathleen, and they were really there for me in the way that I needed of not, okay, what are we going to do about this depression, but just in being normal and being there for me how I needed. Also going to the therapist at school and having her say to me, you know, that's the most selfish thing you can do, right?
Mm.
Like, what about your friends? What about, how could you do this to them?
Right.
Well, and luckily, I was aware enough to realize that she should not be a counselor.
Yeah.
And that was not something that you should say to someone that just tried to commit suicide. But it still affected me in a certain way. And so I did end up going on medication at that time. And it was like a breath of fresh air. I mean, I'd been having these thoughts that for so long that I knew weren't me. I'd have these thoughts like, belong here, everyone else would be better off without you, you should just end it. And I'd think to myself, what? No, things are great. Why am I feeling that way? But I couldn't separate. It's an insane experience to not be able to trust yourself and your own thoughts. And that's what I'd been experiencing for so long.
Well, I love you so much. And I'm so happy that you were brave enough to share this story. And I totally get where you're coming from too. Like, you actually helped me through a really difficult time when we lived together. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
And I was going through a really tough patch when my grandmother passed away. And then we lived together right after that. And I went through a very similar thing where, like, my mother's a social worker and I had reached out to her and said, I feel really depressed. I have suicidal thoughts. And right away it was absolutely no to medication. She gave me a bunch of books and packets and resources on how to handle anxiety. And it was helpful. It was, but at the same time, like, it really is like a medical imbalance. And I'm so grateful that your medicinal approach is what saved you. And I'd love to hear an update. We've gone to a really low place.
Yeah.
But you're thriving now. You just seem so much happier. And you said it's like you're a totally different person. So how have you changed for the better over the past couple of years?
Yeah. So that was, I guess, so I started college. So that was in 2008. So it was like spring of my freshman year that I tried to commit suicide. So it's been 11 years, which is something I don't really think about, that it feels so foreign to who I am now. Not that I don't think it's a part of me, and I think that it was a necessary thing for me to go through to get to where I am today. But I stayed on the medication for quite some time. And then in 2015, I got pregnant with our first daughter, and I had to go off the medication because they didn't know enough. There hadn't been enough testing and trials of what that could do to a pregnancy or how it could affect a child. So I knew that I wanted to go off of it. And that was a discussion that my husband and I had had before we started thinking about getting pregnant. That was something I was going to have to do. And so we set up our lives in other ways that I knew, okay, I wasn't in a stressful job at the time. Other things were good. We had a house, we had everything else was set up. So I knew there wouldn't be those like triggering factors. And then I went off the medication for my pregnancy and I haven't been on it since. And I've been doing really, really well. I mean, of course, we all still have our low days, but not nearly as low as they used to be, not nearly as often. And a big part of that is my support system.
Yeah. Just going to say, you have an amazing husband. He's one of the best people. And also your group of friends too. We're all rallying for you and rooting for you. So I love that. That makes me so happy to hear. So yes, you have two of the most beautiful little girls I've ever seen. Like,
thank you.
Every time I see photos of them, I'm just like, they're so pretty. I told you, every single person will say that a newborn baby is beautiful, but really your daughters are like newborn models. Like,
they really are. They really, yeah.
Was it an easy decision to step out of your career to be a stay-at-home mom, or can you kind of talk through that process?
Yeah, so I kind of not fell into it, but kind of did. We had talked about eventually me being able to stay at home, but I was in a job. I had transitioned from working in marketing and PR to working in volunteer services at a hospital, and I had the best job, the best boss. I mean, she and I are still best friends, but she retired in November of 2017. And then they hired someone from a different department that was just insane. She was crazy. And so I went from having the best work environment I've ever had to the worst in the blink of an eye. She would have conversations with me and then do the exact opposite of what we talked about. We would have conversations and she would accuse me of saying things that I never said. It was just crazy how different our understandings of situations were. And it was just a really, really horrible environment for me to be in. And I was falling into those same patterns of depression, anxiety, and bringing it home too, because I couldn't lash out at my boss. So I found myself lashing out at Ryan and Bennett, and it was just not a great situation. And so my husband and I talked and realized that we were in a place financially that I could stay home. So we made the decision. My boss and I had this explosive conversation where she threatened to go to HR on me for basically nothing, but it was just kind of the turning point of I need to make a change for me, for my family. And so we made the decision for me to stay home. So I've been staying home since January of 2018.
Nice. Yes. Yeah. And you've been doing your calligraphy just for a creative outlet. And can you talk more about like how you fell into doing that?
Yeah. So after I had Bennett in 2016, I had been searching for a creative outlet. I love acting and performing, but that just wasn't feasible at the time with her being so little. And I was still working at that time. So I needed to find something to get that out because I was missing this part of me that I had been expressing for so long and didn't have any way to express it. And again, I feel like everything roots back to me noticing those patterns in my life that lead to the low times or the flare-ups of anxiety and depression. And I think flare-ups is kind of a weird thing to say about it, but I think it's a really accurate way too, because it makes it more real in a medical sense as well. And I think we don't often talk about anxiety and depression as an illness. We talk about it as, I don't know, something that we're dealing with otherwise, but I mean, it's an illness. So noticing what leads to those flare-ups and not having a creative outlet was really, really one of those triggers for me. So I found calligraphy kind of by accident. I was making a gift for my mom for Mother's Day. And I was like, oh, who knew this was even a thing? Like, I thought these were all fonts. Who knew? So I got some pens that were completely the wrong pens and tried to do something and it was awful. But I thought it was hot as hell and just was so proud of myself. Looking back on it, it's illegible. Like, it's not even almost good. But I remember being so proud of it. But then working up to the confidence to start an Instagram page for it, just for that accountability, because I know myself and I won't keep with something if I don't have accountability. And then I lettered every single day for a year, which was hard, especially when I was sick or traveling or different things, but I would set myself up so that I could just write one little thing, even if that was it, just to practice. And my improvement over there that year was ridiculous, from something that I thought I would never get the hang of to now having my own style of lettering and calligraphy and just totally being in love with it.
Yeah, it's way better than anything I would ever attempt. So, but yeah, you kind of learn by doing.
And yeah.
Just to kind of pivot a little bit, I'm just revisiting the form that you had filled out, and you said something really important that I'd love to go deeper into. You said, I've had to really learn that not right now doesn't mean never, and that it's okay that I'm not trying to pursue all of the dreams at the same time. So you've recognized that you are stepping back and really focusing on your children. It's just kind of a phase. It's just a pivot. And eventually you would love to work on your calligraphy for money, but for right now you're happy just to focus on Bennett and Finley. So I'd love to hear your perspective on that as well.
Yeah. So I think too, that stems from, we live in a society where it's like, if you're not busy, if you're not driving yourself crazy with stress, you're not trying hard enough or you're being lazy, which is totally not true. I mean, it's okay to do those things. It's great to hustle. And yeah, you do have to hustle to achieve your goals. But if you're not doing that 24/7, that's fine too. And I think so, especially with the lettering, a lot of people that I made friends with on Instagram, we started all at the same time, and a lot of people started to move this into a business, either with weddings or with invitations, different things, or just selling their artwork. And so then I thought, okay, I should do that too. Well, why am I not doing that? Am I just being lazy? And there were always all these reasons of why I wasn't doing it. It was mainly because running my own business isn't really something that I'm interested in. And I really had to realize that, because it is a lot of work. It's so much work. And I want, not that I'm lazy, not that I don't want to do the work to achieve the goal, but right now I want to focus on my kids and their education and molding them into the little people that they're going to be.
Yeah.
And I say that, but not that someone that's trying to hustle and grow a business isn't focusing on their kids either. I think moms come under scrutiny no matter what we do. And so I want to be clear, I'm not saying that if you do that, you're not focusing on your kids. But for me, and especially once again, linking back to depression, anxiety, I know if I have too much on my plate, I fall back into that place. And that's not something that I can do for my mental health.
Absolutely. Yes. Like, I've attempted and failed at so many businesses now that I can say, like, having a business is really like having a baby. You have to show up for it every single day. I think some people are great at finding that place where they can manage all of these things. And some people just need to focus fully on one thing at a time. And everybody's running their own race. So there's absolutely no pressure or no, I don't know. It's totally okay to be wherever you are doing whatever you're doing, as long as you're happy and the people around you are happy. That's what I think. So.
Yeah. And again, I mean, just because I'm not pursuing those things right now, like I said, it doesn't mean never.
Right.
It's not in 10 years when the girls are in school and I might go back to a career. I might then want to run my own business and find that I have the time. It wasn't an easy decision for me to stay home. And especially once I started staying home, it hasn't been easy for me to keep staying home, because it's hard. It's challenging in completely new ways. I'm such an extrovert, and not seeing anyone but my two precious daughters all day for 5 days a week is sometimes crazy inducing. And I mean, drives me up a wall, and I love them so much. And I'm so lucky and blessed to be a stay-at-home mom, but being a stay-at-home mom isn't all leggings and Starbucks and messy buns. It's hard work.
And it's work that I actually reflected on this a few weeks ago, because I was meal prepping in the kitchen for what seemed like an eternity. Like, I had been cooking for like 7 hours, and then I realized my apartment was a disaster. Not just my kitchen, but also like my living room, and I needed to unfold my laundry and all this crap. And I was just like, you know what? I would absolutely love if I had somebody here all the time to help me, but I don't. So shout out to the stay-at-home moms of the world. I see you. I see that what you do is valuable and important, because I need it so badly right now. So,
yes.
I love it. I love it so much. If there's somebody that's listening to this today who maybe is a stay-at-home mom and is struggling, or is somebody who has struggled with anxiety and depression in the past, do you have anything, like a little nugget of inspiration or a tip that they could use to kind of get themselves through a tough moment?
I think a big thing for me, my mantra right now in this stage of life with a 3-year-old and an 8-month-old is, it's just a phase. Everything passes. Yeah, you have to work towards it passing sometimes, but it's just a phase. What you're feeling right now isn't going to be what you're feeling in a month or 2 months or a year. It's a phase. And if you work at it and focus on what's important, it's all going to change into a wonderful new challenging phase, and you'll get past that one too.
I love that. Yeah. I know, like, we get so caught up in being concrete and this is what is going to be my life for the rest of my life. And that's totally not the case at all. Yeah. So it's just kind of letting your grip loosen a little bit and just having fun and going with the flow and enjoying what comes next. So
absolutely.
I love this so much, Katie. And if anyone else loves this as well, are there social media sites? I know you said that you have a page for your calligraphy. So if you are willing to share with the audience, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. It's creations_4_B, letter B.
Awesome. Katie, I love you. Thank you so much for coming on and just
having
this super deep conversation, but also just enlightening and positive. And I, of course, I'm rooting for you. And I'm so glad that you took a bit of time this morning to talk with us and share your story.
Yes, of course. Love you so much.
My goal for this podcast is to always spread some positive vibes. And to keep that good energy flowing, it would mean a lot to me if you could share this episode with your friends or leave a nice review on iTunes. Or you could always find me on Instagram at Davina Faust and take a screenshot of the episode. But remember, no matter what it looks like for you, your happiness is worth fighting for.